Brothers and sisters,
good morning.
It's really great to see everybody this morning. Mark, are we good? Well, let's have a quick prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we're able to gather together today. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. And we just pray that you would be present. The words that are preached are your words, not the words of man, but the words of God. Be with those hearing, Lord. Open up their ears, and we just thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are continuing in going through 1 John. And we're not going to quite finish through all of verse 5, but we're going to get about halfway through it, and we'll finish up next time. So we'll start out in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So, John starts off with chapter 5, just kind of continuing where he left off in chapter 4, right? So chapter 4, the last two verses, verse 20 and 21, it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And that's been kind of a theme throughout 1 John, is the love of God and the love of others. But he goes right into it. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So we are born of God, born again of God, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3:3, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we have to be born again to see God and to see the kingdom of God, and we're born again by our belief in acceptance of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as our Savior. And then John makes it clear that if we are born again, and if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and if we love God the Father, then we will naturally love all the children of God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says, It says, everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So anyone who loves God and is going to love all the ones that are begotten of God. So it just naturally kind of flows out of us as we become saved. And how do we know, and how do we love the children of God? So it says we'll love the children of God, but how do we love the children of God? And I think we talked about this a little bit in chapter 4. It's not a worldly love. It says, but by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and we keep his commandments. So how do we love others? We love others by loving God. We love others by loving God and doing what he's commanded us to do. So if we are born again through Jesus Christ, loving others is a natural outpouring of our new man, of the new person that has been put onto us. It's not something we have to do, again, but it's something that we want to do and that our new man is actually designed to do. And then it says, and I really like this, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But then it says, and his commandments are not burdensome. And I was really thinking about that, so I've been reading, I always start at the beginning of the year and I kind of read through the Bible, so I'm reading, I ran through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, and I'm reading all of the law that was in Exodus, and a little bit of Exodus and Leviticus, and that was burdensome. That law to the Jews, that was burdensome. They had to do it, and they had to do specific things, and they had to do things in specific ways, and there were only specific people that could do them, and there were only specific times that they could do them, and they had to travel to certain locations. That was a burdensome. That was a burdensome law. Burdensome commandments. But now Christ has came, and his law, or his commandments, says they're not burdensome. His commandments are this: to love the Lord our God and to love others as yourself. On this hangs all the law and the prophets. So all those laws that were given have been fulfilled in Christ. And we can live through Christ, and we're not burdened the way that they were burdened. We're free through Jesus Christ. And then it says, and this kind of goes along with what Brother Tim was talking about this morning, going down into verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So we already know, we've already said that we've been born of God if we believe in Christ. So we've overcome the world. Not we will overcome, we have overcome the world. And it says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So our faith has overcome the world. And we have assurance that we will overcome the world through victory, which is our faith. And we know that, it says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So, he who overcomes the world, Jesus said, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So by faith, by our faith, we're able to overcome. In faith in Jesus Christ, faith that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. In Hebrews it says, hope is the substance of things yet hoped for, of things unseen. Maybe that's not exactly right. But that faith, we haven't seen Christ. We know him, and we know him through his word. We haven't seen him, but we have faith that what he says is true. So through that faith, we're able to overcome the world. And I really like, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
And then going into verse 6, starting out in verse 6, it talks about the certainty of God's witness. And it says, speaking of Jesus, it says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So I was thinking about the water and the blood, and I was thinking, or I was looking at, and you know, Jesus was baptized in water when he started his ministry. baptized by John. Matthew 3:16 says, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him." And it says immediately when he came up from the water. So he went under the water and he was cleansed through the water, and immediately the Spirit of God descends on him. Again, in Mark 1:9, it says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came up from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens departing and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove." So, in both of those accounts, in Matthew and Mark, the Spirit came immediately upon Jesus when he came up from the water. But then as you read, that the Spirit didn't come immediately upon all the believers. The Spirit came up immediately upon Christ when he was baptized. But it did not come immediately upon the believers, because the full requirement of Jesus was not just the washing by water, but his death and resurrection, so the shedding of his blood. So Jesus' mission was not complete after his baptism with the water, but after his death and his resurrection. So it was the washing of the water and then the shedding of the blood. Amen. The shedding of the blood was necessary for our cleansing. John said John came baptizing, but John was only baptizing with water. He said, "I only come baptizing with water." But he says, "One will come, Jesus, who baptizes with Spirit and with fire." And then I was reading, and I was actually looking as I was kind of finishing up this morning. I read in chapter 12, verse 50, where Jesus says, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." Yeah. So that was after he had been baptized by John, but it was before he's going to the cross. Mm-hmm. So his going to the cross, dying, and then being raised from the dead is like the final baptism.
Amen.
And it says in the Bible that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus' death will also be raised with him as well. So Jesus, the shedding of Jesus' blood completed his work and his earthly ministry and what it was said from the beginning that he came to do. John 19:28-30 says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." So at that point he had finished what he had came to accomplish through his earthly ministry. So it was with water, or the baptism and blood, the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ, that Jesus came, and who bears witness, and is the Spirit who bears witness. So after that, the witness came upon all the believers, mm-hmm. and that Jesus had promised. Then it says there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Spirit. And it says these three are one. So Jesus is and always was God and was with him from the beginning. So we know that. In the beginning, 1 John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So this is just confirming that. It says these three are one, and they bear witness in heaven to Jesus Christ, the Son. And then there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. So chapter 8, there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So the witness on earth, you have the baptism of Jesus, the descending of the Holy Spirit on Jesus and then on his believers after his death. And then the death and the spilling of blood and the resurrection of Jesus on the cross. And all of these agree or are in sync with one another.
Amen.
So there's the witness in heaven, and then there's the witness on earth. And it says if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. So the witness of God is greater than the witness of men. And that is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If we believe in the Son of God, then we have the witness. If we do not believe, then we're essentially calling God a liar.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't believe that, we are calling God a liar, and we're rejecting his testimony. And his testimony is that God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. So it says, so he who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son.
Amen.
So in John 5, chapter 5, verses 39, it says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. So we can search the scriptures, and the religious of John's day, they were searching the scriptures. They think that's where they would have their eternal life, but it's through Christ. The scriptures, from the beginning to the end, testify of Jesus.
Amen.
John 6:54 says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. John 6:68, I really like this, but Simon answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In John 17:3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Then he says, John says, those who have the Son have life, and those who do not have the Son do not have life.
Mm-hmm.
And that just reminded me of when Jesus said, to those who have, more will be given, but to those who do not have, even what they have will be taken away. And I was just thinking about that. If we have eternal life through Christ, when we have Christ and we believe in Christ, we have eternal life. But if we don't have life, and even what we have will be taken away in the end days.
Yeah.
And then in the end, it says, John says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So John wrote these things for our edification, and these words are to encourage us to know that we have eternal life, and that we can continue to believe in the name of Jesus Christ on the Son of God. And that's why we have the scriptures, and that's why these are written for our edification, and we need to study them and keep learning and continue to grow in those. So any thoughts, comments, or corrections on any of that?
I liked your last comment. To continue to grow and to look into the Word and to flourish with the things we already know. But we have to keep these in remembrance at all times. We talk about it, but it's always keeping in remembrance these things we know and building upon it.
Mm-hmm.
So we are a better servant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These are written so that you may know you have eternal life. We have our words here, but we believe them, then we can know that we have eternal life. This is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
And the evidence of things not seen. That's the only way we have assurance, is from what's written.
Mm-hmm.
Naming ourselves and see if what he's saying is true in us. And we have the witness in ourselves. And that, back where you're talking about the burden, his commandments are not grievous to us. It's not just that his commandments got easier, that his commandments are easier than under the law. Actually, under Christ, it's more stringent commandments. It demands your very life. It demands you deny yourself and take up your cross. But they're not burdensome because he's changed us. Mm-hmm. And he's made us compatible with his commandments, his law. And we love them. He put them in our hearts. Yeah. That makes them not a burden.
Amen. Yeah, Christ didn't destroy the commandments. The commandments are still required. Everything's still required of us. It's just Christ has paid that. Christ has paid that penalty for us. And yeah, he's made us a new creatures.
We are free. You know, it all comes down to be. We are in this liberty and this freedom. It's in the aspect that it's something we want to do.
Yeah. Amen. We have liberty, but let's not use it for vice and for vice and for sinful, mm-hmm. sinful things. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. So stand and have a word of prayer.